Well, amen. Let's take the Word of God this morning and we will go to Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm 78, it is a blessing to be here today. And I'm so thankful to be. I preached here, I think last year on a Wednesday night. And I really appreciate Pastor Davison trusting me. He wasn't even here. I think he was out of the country. And so I really appreciate that. It's good to, Mrs. Stone here, Kathy Stone, and she was in our church for many years in Ohio, moved to North Carolina, and she's here this morning. And then, of course, I see Brother John Stevens. I'm surprised he's still allowed to come here to church. And so he's been at our church and preached. It only took me 2 weeks to straighten things out after he left. And so, But he's been a blessing, a dear friend to me, an encouragement. And it's just a blessing to have all of you here. And I'm thankful to be here. I will say I do miss my church this morning. I miss being there. And my son, my oldest son, had actually traveled to be with our son. So he's there. He's coming home and going back, and we won't even get to see him. And so we kind of miss that. But we're thankful for the privilege. Enjoyed yesterday being with the couples. And I woke up this morning thinking about that skit. I really did, you know. And I did. The first thing I thought about, I was like, man. And that was interesting and hilarious at the same time. So it was great. Well, we're thankful to be here this morning and thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. I do want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. I do want to say this as I begin. I've just got to know your pastor and his family of course, in the last year or so. And I really appreciate his faithfulness to the Lord. And I want you as a church, I'm sure you know this, but I just don't want you to forget it. You are very blessed to have a pastor and his wife and family like you have here, all right? Some churches would give anything to have a preacher like you have. Love on them, take care of them, spoil them to death, you know, and know their birthdays, anniversary, just be a blessing to them. Because as a pastor, I can tell you it means a great deal. Write them notes and all of that, and just be a blessing and encouragement. Whatever you can do to encourage the man of God is a great thing to do. And I know he is a faithful man. Coming on 10 years being at the church, the average stay of a pastor today is 2 years. That's the average stay of a pastor. So thank God for a faithful man and his family. And just be an encouragement. Pray for them. They need your prayers. No one in the church is under spiritual warfare like the pastor and his family. Nobody else. And I was an assistant for 12 years. I thought that I had an idea of what it was to be a pastor. Key word is thought, all right? And I was very close to my pastor. I went to every deacon's meeting. That's what he wanted me to do. I don't know if that was good to do, but I did. And I mean, it was just a lot of things, but I really had no idea until I became a pastor what it meant to be a pastor. And the weight, the burden, love them, care for them, and God will bless you for it. Well, we come to Psalm chapter 78. This is a special psalm to me, and in the psalm, we're going to read a few verses, and I want you to notice every time you come to the word children, or you come to the word fathers, because God is dealing with the family here, and I know this is kind of an emphasis on family and marriage. This morning, I talked about being faithful to God, and God has called us to be faithful to Him. But as we come to Psalm chapter 78, I want to preach on this subject. Are you limiting God? Is it possible to limit God? Now, we know that God is the God of the impossible. We know that God is all-powerful, that God can do anything. We know that about God. That is one of God's divine attributes. But is it possible for you and me to, figuratively speaking, tie the hands of an all-powerful God? And the answer is yes. Because in our text, we will find that God, who could have blessed the children of Israel, God was limited in what He could do. Let's come to Psalm chapter 78 and verse number 1. Would you kind of stay with me? We're going to read a few verses together. The Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers and the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Now, as you pick up in the same chapter and go to verse number 37. Verse number 37, if you would please, of the same chapter, Psalm chapter 78. The Bible says, "For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert." Look in verse 41, our text verse. "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Are you limiting God? Let's begin in a word of prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you for this dear church. Lord, what a blessing this church is. I've been blessed listening to the singing, the music, the instruments, and just the spirit here this morning. A spirit, Lord, that they want to worship You. And Lord, I thank you for this pastor and his family. Lord, what a faithful man. And I just thank You for their faithfulness to Thee. But God, I pray today that You will meet with us today. I pray in these few moments that, Lord, all distractions would be put away. Our thoughts would be of You, and we would allow the Spirit of God to do His work. And Father, I ask You to enable me to preach this morning. I'm just Your vessel, and Lord, I can do nothing without Thee. I declare my utter helplessness, but my dependence on Thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here we have a picture of an almighty God who is able to bring victory, who is able to give them more of the land that God had already given to them, who is able to provide for them, and yet God is limited. God is hindered from doing what He wants to do. And I believe that this church, Maranatha Baptist Church, wants to see the blessing of the Lord. And you want to see God's blessing in your life, but what would keep that from happening? I believe with all my heart that there have been often many churches and many individual lives where God would say, "I wanted to bless you. I wanted to do more with you, but you would not allow me." I believe that this is one of the saddest statements that is found in the Bible, that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Every time I read it, I bow my head and I say, "Dear God in heaven, I do not want to limit what You wanted to do in my life. Lord, I don't want to limit what You want to do in our church." And by the way, this has to do with a matter of faith and trusting God and believing that God is able. In fact, this morning, I want you to think in your mind of the best Christian that maybe you know. In fact, I believe the best Christian doesn't think he or she is the best Christian. that they see their sin more than maybe anybody else sees it. But think about the best Christian that you could ever think about, and they're not half the Christian that God intends for them to be. I want you to think about the blessing of the Lord, and I want you to think of this church and how God has blessed this church, but it's not half of what God wants to do. And in fact, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Brethren, we have a God this morning who wants to do more than what we could ever imagine in our life. But the question is, are we limiting the Holy One of Israel? Now, this morning, I want you to notice three simple things. First, I want you to notice our children. Now, there's a big emphasis in Psalm chapter 78 about our children. In fact, in the first seven verses, God talks about our children, and He talks about our responsibility to our children. In fact, I think every one of us understand that we are living in a day and time in which children are biblically illiterate. They do not know God's Word. They just don't know. In fact, you know, years ago, people had more of an idea of God. I guess Bible terminology was used much more. In fact, maybe there was a baseball game or a football game, and they might say, well, this is a great picture of David and Goliath. But people don't talk that way anymore. People have no references to God. The Lord has allowed our church to have the opportunity to have a Bible club in a public school, and it's just been really a miracle. It's a school called Mechanicsburg Middle School, and we call it the miracle at Mechanicsburg because it really has been a miracle. We've seen God do amazing things in that school. They allow me to come in every Friday during lunchtime and to hold a Bible club. And whenever kids want to bring their lunch and come, and it's just amazing what God has done. The superintendent's been in our church. The principal's been in our church to visit. We've got two families that are in our church now from that Bible club. But every Friday, I have the privilege to go in. But when I am talking about things, I have to be very, very simple because they don't know much about God's Word. They've just not heard it. It is not in their homes, and many of them do not go to church. And brethren, may God help us to understand that we as a church and we as parents and we as individuals have a responsibility to not limit God when it comes to our children. We are not to limit what God wants to do. By the way, I have thought often about that snowy day years ago when a young boy by the name of Charles walked into a church. The preacher wasn't able to get there because it had snowed so much. But that young boy Charles came to church, and it was just a layman to preach God's Word. And he preached the Bible, and Charles Haddon Spurgeon came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I'm glad that church did not limit God by the children that were represented that day. May God help us to understand that we need to know the nation of Israel in Psalm chapter 78 was to be a channel through whom God would make Himself known to the rest of the world. But can I tell you what they did? They limited God because it begins with our children. In fact, in reality, that's what God has called all of us to be. Brethren, I can do nothing in and of my strength, and you can do nothing in and of your strength. But I am a channel, I am a vessel, and I'm praying that God will work through me, that God will speak through me, that I will just be available for God to use. And by the way, Curtis Hudson used to say years ago, the greatest ability is availability to God. For someone to say, Lord, I'm not able, but will you take me, and will you bless me, and will you use me? I remember years ago after I surrendered the call to preach, and I knew that I could not do that in my own strength. And I remember often getting before God and saying, God, without your help, Lord, I'm not going to make it. And Lord, I can do nothing without you. Listen, I know that I am in many ways nothing, but He is everything. But God has called us to be a channel. God has called us to be that instrument that God can work through. In fact, you know what? Some Christians are just like stagnant ponds. You ever seen a stagnant pond? Water comes in, but nothing goes out. And what happens to the stagnant pond? It is dirty. It is filthy. Everything is going in, but nothing is going out. And brethren, this church and your individual life, God has called you to be a channel. He wants to use people. And aren't you thankful that God chooses to use you and me? He wants to use us to share the gospel with other people. But I wonder how many times we are limiting what God wants to do because we do not let the Lord work through our life. Years ago, I remember I was driving and I had to take a semester off of college just for financial reasons. And I remember I started working a job in Maynardville, Tennessee, and I had to drive quite a distance. And one morning, the sun had come up and beautiful day, but I crested a hill and I couldn't see anything. And I didn't know it, but there was parked cars in front of me. And I don't know to this day how it happened, but somehow I think an angel came and grabbed the steering wheel and pulled it. And I ended up in a kind of a ravine, a ditch, and I couldn't get out. And you know, in Tennessee and maybe even in North Carolina, there was some guys that come by in a truck, all right? And now these guys knew how to get trucks out, and I had a truck, and they knew how to get it out. I mean, they had done it often, many times. Rough guys, but as nice as could be. And I remember those guys says, oh man, and they tried to get that truck out. They could not get it out. And they said, all right, buddy, I'm going to take you to a payphone. I know the young people have no idea what I just said right there, but you'll find them in museums, all right? And but a payphone, all right? We didn't have cell phones. And I remember those guys took me. I got in the truck with these guys. And in that moment, I am sad to tell you that in that moment, God impressed upon me to witness to these men. In that moment, but I was scared. I had excuses. I got to get to work. I don't have time to take care of this. And to this day, I look back upon that day and I wonder what God wanted to do. I wonder, did I limit the Holy One of Israel because I did not witness to those men? Years ago, I also remember another story to where I had a bus route while I was in college. And I remember I'd been designated to have a certain area to go. And I remember that day in particular, I was burdened. I wanted God to work. I wanted God to do a great work. And I remember just bearing my head on my steering wheel and saying, God, would you do something today? Would you lead me to the right house? And Lord, would you bless? And I remember that day, I knocked on the door. And there was a man, he had a bunch of children, and of course that's a gold mine for a bus route, you know. And I remember thinking, hey, I said, sir, I'd love to have your kids come to church. And I said, sir, I would love to have you come. Well, the man wasn't real responsive to me. And I said, hey, can I come by in the morning? He said, sure, that's fine. And I thought in my heart, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to be ready. Boy, that morning we pulled up in the bus and knocked on the door, and here was these kids come dressed. I mean, that man had dressed them in the best that he could. He was coming. I was like, oh, great, come on, get on the bus. We came to church that morning. The pastor was preaching. God was working. And man, God was speaking to my heart. And I was sitting right by that man. And all I knew was during the invitation, that man grabbed my arm and said, come with me. I said, yes, sir. All right, I had no idea where we were going. But we came to the altar. That man got on his face and began to weep and began to cry, and he poured his heart out to Jesus, putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ that morning. I found out later that week that man, his wife had left him and all the kids, and he was desperate, he was hopeless, and that man came to know Jesus Christ because I declared before God, Lord, use me to be a channel. Brethren, I wonder how often we are limiting God. We are limiting what God wants to do through us, how God wants to speak to us. We are limiting what God wants to do in parents to their children. We are limiting how a husband can be a blessing to his wife and a wife can be a blessing to her husband. We are limiting God. You see, the children here, God had some very special things that he wanted to declare to the children. Look back in Psalm chapter 78 and look in verse number 4. It says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, there's first thing, and his strength, that's the second thing, and his wonderful works that he hath done. Now, brethren, that is really God's command for all of us here today. In fact, do you know something? If you find a happy mother or a happy father in a happy family, you are going to find that that mother and father are sharing their lives with the generation to come. If you find a happy Christian, you will find that person sharing what God has done for them and with them with the generation to come. Because God has called all of us to be channels. I, this morning, just want to be used of the Lord. God, use me. I want to be a tool, an instrument in your hand. I can do nothing of my own, but I serve a God who is able to do all things. I serve a God who can work like none of us could ever work. But notice the praises of the Lord. Can I tell you what that is? That's telling who the Lord is. The praises of the Lord. You know what? We should be declaring that God is real to the generation to come. The praises of the Lord. But the second thing is the strength of the Lord. That tells what God can do. By the way, parents, it would be good for you to encourage your children or older adults with the generation to come to talk to them about the praises of the Lord, to tell them about who God is, that God is faithful, that God is merciful, that God is just, that God is good. We ought to praise the Lord and talk about how great God is, but we also ought to be talking about what God can do. Let's talk about the strength of the Lord. I remember often with my children, with my daughter Abby and with my two boys, they're going through trials and testing. And you know what? It doesn't help anybody to say, oh, you'll be fine. I've been through that, gone through that, you'll be all fine. No, you know what I like to tell them? Listen, I want to tell you about God, how God has helped me, how God has enabled me. And if God helped me, God's going to help you. Let me tell you how great God is. Let me tell you how wonderful God is. Let me tell you how God answers prayer. Let me tell you what God did in my heart this morning through my Bible reading. Let me tell you what God did in my prayer time. Listen, we ought to be glorifying God because we are to be channels of whom God really is. The praises of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, but the wonderful works of the Lord. Listen, I love to talk about God's blessing. I love to talk about His answered prayer. Folks, we should be demonstrations of what God has done because we have a responsibility to declare to the generation to come the praise of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and the wonderful works that He has done. And by the way, Maranatha Baptist Church should be a beacon in this area, a lighthouse that says God is real. He can change your life. Look what He has done for me. Amen. Listen, that's what it's supposed to be at. That God is real and God is able. Oh, brethren, may God help us today to recognize our responsibility to our children. Number two, not only do we see our responsibility to our children, but our challenge. Now, there's a challenge here. We'll go back to Psalm chapter 78. Let's look in verse number 8. Would you notice this passage? The Bible says, and might not be as their fathers. Now, this could apply to any of us today. A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, God gives us a good example of this rebellious people. Being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Folks, can you imagine a God in heaven, figuratively speaking, with His hands tied behind His back? The God who can bless, but He cannot bless because we have limited. The God who can provide the needs. In fact, did not the Lord say, ye have not because you what? Ask not. In fact, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But that's what we find with the children of Ephraim. They were carrying bows. They were going into battle. Now, what was the battle? The battle was taking more of the land of what God had already promised them. But they see the enemy. They're afraid. And they're carrying bows. They are armed. And they turn back and go home. Can I tell you? It was their lack of faith in what God could do that made them turn back. Brethren, I want you to remind you of this morning. The children of Israel, You take that day that they came to Kadesh Barnea, and remember when Moses sent out the spies, and remember they came back with an evil report. And Numbers chapter 14 says, and the people wept that night. Can I tell you why they wept? Because their dreams had died because they were living in unbelief. And brethren, mark it down. The Christian life is a faith life. God requires it to be lived by faith. But faith in God makes God real to you and me. And the faith that was required to go into the battle and to face the battle, God would have given them the victory. God had promised them the victory. But they had to act in obedience and faith unto God. But the faith that was required to go into the battle would have made God real to them. So often in our lives, God puts something in our heart to do, and we're afraid. We do not have the courage. We do not act in obedience to the Lord. And God wanted to work in such a great way, and we limited God because we turned back. We hindered what God wanted to do. We stopped the blessing of the Lord because God wanted to do a great work. Now, what is our challenge? Notice the children of Ephraim. First, they were unfaithful. They kept not His covenant. They were unfaithful. I talked about that this morning in Sunday school. But secondly, they were unwilling. They were unwilling to walk in the law of the Lord. And they were ungrateful. They forgot about what God had already done for them. Brethren, you know what? I think it is good, not just at Thanksgiving time, but that we think and talk about the blessings of the Lord, how much He has blessed us, because we are recognizing that what God did in the past, God can still do in the present. I believe this. I believe the greatest days of this church are in the future. Why? Because we have an almighty God.
Amen.
And the God who blessed in the Old Testament is the God who can still bless today. And the God who can do mighty works is able to do that today. But we limit Him because of our unbelief. We limit Him because we're not grateful. We limit Him because we turn back in the day of battle. I remember my son years ago. He's 16 now. I think at the time he was 4. And he was a good little boy. But one day I remember asking my son, I said, son, I want you to do this. And he looked at me with a very tender face. He was very spiritually about it. But he looked at me and he said, Daddy, please don't tell me what to do. That's what he said to me. Now, I wanted to laugh. And then I was mad at the same time. You know, I didn't know what to do. I said, honey, take care of him. No, I didn't do that, all right? But, you know, in my heart, I kind of thought, boy, is that not how we are to God sometimes? Lord, I love You, but don't tell me what to do. Lord, thank You for giving Your Son Jesus for me, but God, I'm not going to go that far in my Christian life. You see, we limit what God wants to do. And here, the children of Ephraim, they were armed. They were ready for the battle. They were doing what God had given them to do, but they turned back. In the day of battle, they lost what God wanted to do. They lost the land. They could not take the land because their faith in God would have made God real to them. Brethren, never has there been a generation with the challenges that we are facing today. Never in the history of our world. In fact, you know, when Jesus lived, it is estimated there were about 125 million people on the face of the earth. Well, brethren, today we're at 8.1 billion people on the face of the earth. But I'm here to tell you that these people, they limited what God wanted to do, but God is well able to take care of the challenges that we are facing today. God is well able to help us to live lives of victory. God is well able to do His work in your life and in my life. But it is a matter of trusting God. Take your Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter number 13, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 13, and I want you to see our challenge. Today, will you rise to the challenge speaking, and will you allow God to work through you? Oh, listen, God is not looking for men and women of great ability. He's looking for men and women today who will simply believe that He is able. They will trust God. And to declare their utter helplessness, but their dependence on the Lord. To say, God, I am not able, but I believe that You can do all things. I believe that God is looking and waiting for that type of person today. And I pray that this church, I believe it is a type of church like this. And I pray that my church is like this, to where we say, God, we believe what you have done in the past, you can still do today. And Lord, you can do great and mighty things, because God is only limited by our unbelief. We come to Matthew chapter 13, and I want you to see something in verse number 53. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 53. And then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 23 in just a moment. I want you to notice something. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house." And I want you to look in verse 58. Don't miss this. "And he did not many mighty works there, because of their," what's the next word? I want you to notice what the Bible said. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus wanted to do mighty works there, but they would not let him. Go to Matthew chapter 23, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 23, and let's look in verse number 37. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 37. I also think that this is a sad statement that Jesus made to the city of Jerusalem when he says in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Brethren, to me, it's a sad statement that the nation or the city of Jerusalem, Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I had such great plans for you. I wanted to gather you together. I wanted to bless you. I wanted to work through you, but you would not. You were unwilling. You were unfaithful. You were ungrateful." They would not. They, as Ephraim, turned back in the day of battle. You may be at a warfare right now, but brethren, can I encourage you, trust God and don't turn back in the day of battle. You may be going through a time of discouragement and despair, and you think of quitting, and you think of stopping going to church and stopping to read the Bible and pray. Can I encourage you with this? Don't turn back in the day of battle. That is our challenge today, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to recognize that He is the all-conquering one, to recognize that in Christ we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, to recognize that Jesus is for us, and if Christ be for us, who can be against us? Let us rise to the challenge. And this is not the idea, well, I've got the strength and I can do this and I'm able to do it. No, it is believing in an all-powerful, all-conquering Jesus that He is able to do all things. So we see our children, our challenge, but number three, our confidence. Let's go back, if you would please, to Psalm chapter number 78 in closing. And I want you to come to verse number 12. Folks, notice what they said. Do you know that every one of us, we are saying something about God with the way we live our lives? Do you know that you're declaring what you believe about God to your children? You are. Do you know the way you live your Christian life is speaking about what you think about God? A.W. Tozer said this, that what we believe about God is the most important thing about us. But I would like to present to you today, the way we are living is talking about who God really is. You know, you can say you believe in God or you're trusting God, But your life is going to speak more about that. I've known of people that, well, I'll tell you, they had such great faith in God. They had such dependence upon God. And it, God used them mightily. God used them. They were just a channel. And they would not turn back in the day of battle. Listen, the devil brings the battle, the heat of the moment. And we just want to quit. We just want to step back and say, the battle is too great. There's too much on stake here and it's too difficult. But if you, by God's grace, will keep your eyes on Jesus, recognizing that what He has led you to do, He will enable you to do. And what Jesus has given you to do in your life, He is standing with you. Brethren, that's where our faith, it is looking unto Jesus. You see, our confidence, where is your confidence today? Psalm chapter 78, we come to verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says here. Psalm 78, verse 12. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for the lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know what they said? Are you sure God could do that? All that they seen God do. All that they witnessed the blessing of the Lord. And yet they said, can God? Folks, I am sad to say, but there have been many times when my life has said, can God save that loved one? Can God heal that marriage? Can God give me victory over my sin habit? Can God? Brethren, I want you to know, we serve a God who can do all things. Amen. We serve a God who can do the miraculous. But we serve a God this morning that is not limited in any way, but we limit Him by our unbelief. I wonder, when's the last time you came before God and said, God, forgive me for my unbelief? Do you know that prayerlessness is really nothing more than unbelief? Because when we pray, it's a declaration of our dependence upon God. The children of Israel saw the blessings of the Lord, yet they did not believe God. They said, can God? Brethren, this morning, you and I cannot exhaust the resources of God. And we glorify God today by expecting great things from God. We listen when we trust in God to do the miraculous. I remember so many years ago when my kids were real little. Now, my boys don't do it as much today. But my kids, they thought that I could do anything. You remember when you thought that about your dad? Your dad was the best and the biggest and strongest. And I remember we had a tree in our yard that we had to dig up. Now, it wasn't very big. I mean, it's probably 15 foot tall. And I had planted the tree, but it had died, all right? I don't have a green thumb, that's for sure. And we had to get that tree out of there. Well, you know what I did? You may think this is crazy, but I went and loosened up the dirt. I got that thing real loose. And the boys came out there and I said, boys, I want you to see how strong Daddy is. And I reached and grabbed that and pulled it right up. And they looked at me, their eyes were real big. And one of my sons said, Dad, are you Superman? I said, yes, son, but don't tell anybody, you know. And but, you know, now my boy said, Daddy can do anything. Daddy is the strongest. But brethren, do we believe that God is able today? Do we believe that He's able to bring unity to that family? Do we believe that God is able to bring victory? You see, it is our confidence in God. It is our trust in God. Folks, faith in God makes God real to you and me. But unbelief will bring defeat, but faith will bring victory. And I wonder today, sometimes we live our lives like God cannot do anything. We live our lives like God is not able. We live our lives like God does not hear and answer prayer. We live our lives like God does not understand. Brethren, when we look unto Jesus, we see that He is able to do anything that needs to be done in our lives. That's looking unto Jesus. In fact, can I tell you the great people of the earth today? The great people of the earth today are those who allow the Lord to be great in their lives. They are trusting in an all-conquering, almighty, all-powerful God. Faith really then is submission to God's authority in our life. In fact, do you study about the children of Israel? They were unwilling. They were ungrateful. They were unfaithful. They, in a sense, were like, God, we are not going to trust you. They were not willing to depend upon the Lord. Faith is really coming to the end of ourselves. It is coming to the place of utter dependence on the Lord. Brethren, maybe you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you something? God is able to save you. He's able this morning. You know, my wife and I, as I told the group yesterday, we had a lady in our office, one of our school moms. She just put one of her children in our school and 24 years of age and began coming to our church. And so we sat down with her and I asked her, I said, Cassidy, do you believe that you're going to heaven when you die? And she said, well, I'd like to think so. And I said, well, I think everybody wants to go to heaven. And I said, Cassidy, why do you think that you may go to heaven? She said, well, Pastor, I'm really working at this. She said, I'm really working hard at this. I think I'm taking the necessary steps. And I said, Cassidy, let me show you from the Bible. And we took about 45 minutes to an hour and showed her from the Word of God that she cannot save herself, but Jesus is willing and able to save her. Amen. And it was wonderful as she sat there. In fact, yesterday she called my wife. Now she wants to get baptized. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. And now she wants to follow Christ. But brethren, she is recognizing that Jesus is able. And folks, we come to Christ for salvation because we cannot save ourselves. But brethren, may I remind you that we must come to Him moment after moment, day after day, because we can do nothing without Him. And God is only limited by our unbelief in Him. And this morning, are you limiting God at some area in your life? Are you limiting God in your marriage? And you're trying to work it out. You're trying to make it work in your own strength. You'll never do it. Come to God, who is the one who designed your marriage. Are you trying to lead the kids? Then come to Him in dependence upon Him. And God can do what only can be done in our lives. Are you limiting God? Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, this morning, we just want to praise You that You are the God who can do all things. You are the God who is able. And You're the God who can bless, Lord, like we could never imagine. Help us today. Lord, I pray even now for anyone that's here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would come to You who is only able to save them. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want you to